This week, we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 14. And what we're looking at here, what you need to know, what we're looking at is praise and worship service in heaven. All right? A praise and worship service in heaven. Look at the verse in starting in the end book, the last book, Revelation, chapter 5, starting in verse 8. When he had taken the book, or the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in the earth, in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all the things in them, I heard saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this picture of worship in heaven. This picture of praise that goes on. Father God, right before you, front of the throne, the focal point in heaven, Father, we see an amazing sight. Lord, thank you for the vision that John had, that he got to see this, and it's going to happen. And it's the fact that this is something that hasn't happened yet, but it will. Father, I praise you that we can be part of this. I thank you so much that we get such a great privilege, Lord God. It amazes me, because we certainly are not worthy, but you certainly are. We love you. We honor your name, Father, for you are worthy. Through Christ I pray. Amen. In Revelation, John the Apostle has written the book about revealing Jesus Christ. And here, what we're going to see today is the fact that he is revealing him as a lamb. But as we've gone through it so far, we saw the vision that John had in the island of Patmos. He had a vision. And in that vision, he saw a picture of Christ. And then Christ spoke to him about what to tell the churches. So we went through all of those seven churches. And the admonitions that commendations that he gave, the admonitions, the warnings that he gave to those churches, and it was representative of even today, of our churches today. But then he gets to in that vision, he saw a picture of heaven. He saw what was going to happen after the rapture of the church. What we know is the next imminent thing coming is the rapture of the church. People say, well, the second coming of Christ is imminent. No, it's not. The second coming of Christ has to come after the tribulation period. So we have certain events that haven't happened yet until the second coming of Christ. But the rapture of the church is imminent. In other words, it can happen at any time. And that's not the beginning of the tribulation. The beginning of the tribulation is the signing of the peace treaty with Antichrist with Israel. But it's a precursor, you might say, to the tribulation. It's something that can happen at any time. And that's what we pray for. That's what we long for, is to be at home in heaven with Christ, to have him come and take us up into the clouds, as it says in 1 Thessalonians. We saw the difference. We looked at the difference between the rapture and the second coming and saw that that is what is going to happen. But this picture we have in heaven is of the center point being the throne, God's throne, the focus in heaven, the very center. And then around the throne, there are four living creatures, and we've described these living creatures, probably seraphim, maybe cherubim. But they have four heads, one pointing in each direction. They have wings. They have all sorts of eyes. Anyway, it's just an amazing picture. But they are angels. They're kind of the authority angels, you might say. We're not positive. We'll know when we get there. But then you have 24 thrones around the throne. You have the Lamb. They have the Lion of Judah in the middle with his father, which is Jesus. And he's seen as being the Lamb that was slain. So we see the Lion of Judah, the Messiah, seen as being a small lamb, and that lamb being one of the Passover lambs, a pet, one of the family pets. So meek and humble, and yet he is the one who can take the scroll. And so, but the 24 elders, we've looked at what they probably are. Most likely they are the raptured church. They are the representative of the church right there. So we somehow will be part of that, this whole celebration. But anyway, the scroll, that book or a scroll, is presented by God the Father. And then last week we looked at the search for a worthy one and the fact that they found Christ, the revealing of the worthy one, the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, and yet the Lamb that was slain. And so we saw that he is able to take the scroll. Now this week what we're going to look at is the praise and worship of the worthy one. Praise and worship of that Lamb, the worthy one. Get to verse 8. It says, when he had taken the book, when he had taken the book. So all of this, hoopla? All of this worship, all of this praise is because he took that scroll. Now remember, the scroll is representative of the title of the earth. It's a representative of control of the earth. It's the title. We looked at what those scrolls were and why the seals were on there last week. The witnesses that had to witness it, and they put their seal upon it. And so when you took that scroll, when you broke those seals, so you were saying, I am the owner of this. This is mine. This is my scroll, and it was written on the front and on the back, and what we know is the way it was scrolled up, the title was written in there, or the contract, whatever it was in those days, and they would roll it up, and then on the outside they would write what this is, and so that was on the backside, and then they would seal it, and the only one that could unseal it was the owner, was the one who rightfully owned it. So we have that going on now. He has taken the scroll, so we found that he is worthy. We saw that. Christ is worthy, the Lamb. And verse 8, it says, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Fell down before the Lamb. So you have these four living creatures, which remember are majestic, are massive. They are, you look at them and tremble because they are the seraphim, the amazing angels that God made for a specific purpose. You go back to Isaiah, I believe, and you have seraphim flying around the throne saying, holy, 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 all the time. And how great and majestic they are. And yet they are falling down before him. Not only them, but the elders. The elders also falling. Remember, the elders representing the church. So the church is falling down. Why? Because he took that scroll. Because he is taking possession of that scroll, taking possession of the earth. Remember, who is the prince of the power of the air now? Satan. We were looking at that this morning. Satan is in charge of the earth. He is, I mean, when he tempted Christ, he said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. He could, because he is an influencer of all the kingdoms of the earth. He is in charge right now. Ultimately, God is. I don't want to take away from God, okay? Ultimately, he has to ask God before he can do anything to us. But he is in charge of the kingdoms of the earth. But someday, Christ will be. And when he takes that scroll, that'll be the beginning of it. And it says he's worthy to break those seals. And every seal that he breaks is a judgment upon the earth. And we'll get into that when we get into chapter 6. But we have the 24 elders bowing down. Now, what I want you to see here, it says that the elders, those 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense. Now, when I say each one, it refers back to the elders, not the creatures. All right, so the creatures weren't holding the bowls. They didn't have the harps. And there's a reason behind that, and we'll see that even just a little bit later. But those harps and the bowls were significant. The harps were used in the Old Testament to show worship and prophecy, right? So the harps were used when there was worship going on before God and prophecy. Now remember, this book was written, there wasn't a New Testament. There was simply the scripture, the Old Testament scripture. And so this is the information he had to go on. He was telling the people this. There was the harps and the bowls. The harps were there for worship and for prophecy. The bowls were there to show, this is what the priests used for, to show the, intercession. There's the word. Intercession between God and man was the priest. The priest would have that. And now we know today that Christ is the one who intercedes for us. Right? But this is the picture. This is the symbol of intercession. You know, I want you to notice at the end of that verse, verse 8, he says, it was full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. Which were the prayers of the saints. So those bowls of incense, which were symbol of intercession, were the prayers of the saints over the ages. Over the ages, longing for the promise and the prophecy. God's prophecy given and his promises given for the redemption of man, for the redemption of the earth. These are all these prayers that people have prayed for so long. And we as the church are going to be holding them. And when we went to Israel, Chris and I went to Israel this year. We went to a Greek Orthodox church. And I think I showed it to you, that there was that stone which was supposed to be where they laid Christ. And they were bowing down and kissing the rock. And people were sitting around there worshiping that rock, that stone. But anyway, the priest came along. And he had a chain with a little bowl full of incense, and it was smoking out of it, you know, a chain, and he would swing it, and he would go to the other side and swing it, and this was supposed to be for the intercession. Well, that smoke was coming out, and it was, you know, smelly. But anyway, it was smoke coming out of there, right? But here, that smoke coming out is the prayers of the saints. It's the prayers that we are praying even now. Remember when I prayed that the rapture would come, that today we might see Christ, that we would come. That's the prayers that are going to be up. That's the prayers. And the reason that they're there, the reason the church is the one that can do that, is because we as people are the ones praying for that. The angels are never praying for that. The seraphim, the cherubim are never praying for it. We as people are. Right, we're praying for God's promises and prophecies to come about, to happen. And this will be the time when they do. He takes that scroll, he accepts that scroll, which is the title of the earth, and it's going to be an amazing thing. All of the elders, they're bowed down, and they have the harps, and they have the bowls, and they're saying, hey, this is happening. This is so cool, it's happening. And they are worshiping the Lamb. Remember, it's the Lamb. It's all coming about right now. Because the Lamb took the scroll, the title of the earth control. The promises that he has made are going to be fulfilled now. They are going to happen. The judgments will be given out. And our prayers, all of our prayers that said, thy kingdom come. Remember how he taught his disciples to pray? Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. It's coming. It's a picture of it. It's coming. So all of that incense, the prayers, the incense of the saints, the prayers of the saints are going up before him, and they're happening right here. So it's an amazing time here. And they sing. Look what it says here. Verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. This was a new song that was sang. This was a song that was sang by the elders. I want you to see that. The creatures didn't sing this song. Later on, we're going to see what the angel said, but they didn't sing this song. What we know of in Scripture, singing is only done by humans. We're never told in Scripture that angels sing. We are told that they speak loudly. They say things rather loud, and they pronounce, you know, give glory to God, and all of those things they do. But we're never told that they sing. That is for humans. I don't know why. I believe it's to do a lot with the emotional aspect. But I don't know why, because songs move us emotionally. Music moves us emotionally. But whatever the reason, the elders here are going to sing, and it's a new song, but I want you to see the song, because everything that's given here, what they say, and then we're going to look at what the angels say, and then we're going to look at what all creation says, and the elders kind of join in to those others. But this is unique for the elders. This is unique for the church to sing, because it's, in essence, it's the gospel. If you look at it, it's the truth of the gospel. And the angels didn't have that. They didn't need that. Remember, the angels, a third of them fell. They went with Satan. And the rest of them, two-thirds, are still serving God. But they, at that point, it was decided where their destiny was, whatever choice they made then. But Christ didn't come and die for the angels. He came to die for humans. And so humans have a unique perspective on this. Now, don't ask me. Someday we're going to be judging angels. Why? I have no clue. Right? The angels are more powerful than us, and yet someday we'll be judging them. That's what Scripture says. But in this case, the humans, the church, are the ones who are seen. They're seeing the gospel. Look what it says. Worthy are you to take the book and to break the seals, which talks about judgment. For you were slain, dead, and purchased for God with your blood, men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So there is the essence of the gospel. You died, came, lived, died, and purchased. Because of that shed blood, you purchased for God people. People. It's the essence of the gospel. You see that? And so this is the excitement that they have. The fact that the elders here, the church, have personally experienced this gospel. And so they're excited. So part of worship in heaven is to recognize the gospel, recognize who they are in Christ, because they are the ones who purchased salvation. Remember, Christ's sacrifice was not an atonement. An atonement is a covering over. All those animal sacrifices covered over. Christ's sacrifice was a propitiation. Was a satisfaction, satisfied God, totally satisfied. Whereas the Old Testament sacrifices covered over to keep God from striking them dead, Christ's sacrifices satisfied God, completely satisfied him for sin, a payment for sin. And that's what he's talking about. Because of that blood, everyone can have that. Every person, people. All right, look at the next verse, verse 10. And have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Kingdom and priests to God. The elders, the ones surrounding the throne, the church, going to be a kingdom and priests. If you in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, at the beginning of this book, he says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to our God, or to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And at the end of Revelation, Revelation 20, verse 6, says, blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, that's talking about the millennial kingdom, which, you know what that means. We'll get to be part of the millennial kingdom. We'll get to be helping Christ rule in the millennial kingdom. Isn't that something? I mean, who are we? Who are we? And yet, we get that great honor and privilege. He is forming us into that. He is building us for that. But that's part of the song that'll be singing. I want you to look at the angels, what they said. The angels worship. Because that's the elders worship, basically, but the angels worship. Look what it says, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. So it's not just the angels, the living creatures and the elders now around the throne. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. So that's a few. That's several. All right? In the ancient Greek, in the Old Testament Greek, Koine Greek is what it's called, what the scripture, what the New Testament was written in, the largest number for, the largest name for a number was myriads. That's kind of like if we say, oh, infinite. I don't know what, Googleplex. What's our largest number? I don't even know what our largest number is. I can't comprehend a billion, 31 years worth of seconds. I can't comprehend that, A trillion, 31,000 years worth of seconds. Well, what's a Google whatever? Infinite. So in the Koine Greek, it was myriads. Myriads was the highest number. In other words, John was looking at this picture and he's going, phew, I ran out of fingers and toes. I cannot count them. Myriads of myriads, 10,000s of 10,000, and thousands of thousands added on to that. In other words, it was just blowing his mind. Here was God the Father, God the Son. Here were the creatures. Here were the elders. And beyond that were so many angels, he couldn't even begin to count them. And look what they said. Saying with a loud voice. I want you to see that. They weren't singing. Remember, that's for humans. They were saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." So what is their, focus? Because you look at the song that was sang by the church, by the elders, and the focus was the gospel. The focus was that Christ died and paid for that sin with the blood, and all of us can have that salvation. But if you look at the angels, what the angels' focus was, you look at it, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Yeah, there we go. This Lamb to receive what? Authority. To receive all authority. In other words, to have the authority back that he had before he ever came to earth. To be seen as God again. Because all of these things are traits of God. All of these things to have, and it's not just to have some riches. No, it's to have power, dunamis, explosive power, all power, all riches, God power, God riches, God wisdom, God might, God honor, God glory, God blessing, okay? So have all that he had before, and yet, who are they talking to? Worthy is the what? The Lion of Judah, the Son of God. No, the Lamb that was slain. So everything that Jesus looked like on earth that he didn't have, he looked like he didn't have. He didn't have riches. He didn't have glory. He didn't, none of that on earth. The people looked at him and said, "You're not worthy." They looked at him and said, "You don't have any of that stuff." And yet he did. And the angels are attributing all that to him, saying, "Worthy is that Lamb that was slain, the one on earth that was slain." And yet, he had everything. Worthy are you to have all authority to be seen as God here on earth. Right? Because he had taken the scroll. So all of these seven things, Jesus didn't seem to have on earth, but with a view of, from religion and all that, but he does here. He's attributed to that with the angels. But I want you to notice the creatures and the elders are joining right in on that one too. All right, so this is kind of a building momentum. Starts out with the elders singing the song of the gospel, builds up to all authority on earth, and then keep going. Look at the creation, what creation says, verse 13. "And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne," God the Father, "and to the Lamb," right there, "be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." Now this is all of creation, every created thing. Now we look at what's going to happen at the end. And it's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 on. It says, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him, Christ, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that in at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Right? So all of that's going to happen with any created, but this, I believe it's talking about even more, all of creation. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how the fish is going to talk. I don't know how the tree is going to say anything. I don't understand it at all. All I know is that anything in creation is going to give this. And look what it says. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing, honor, and glory, and what? Dominion forever. So here, the whole focus of this one is dominion. To have authority on earth, to be dominant here on earth. With the angels, it was authority over all in heaven. With us, it's salvation. It's the fact that he gave us salvation. He gave us a way to be part of his kingdom, of have a relationship with him. But the angels' focus is authority. The creation's focus is dominion. All of this falls into the aspect of worship and praise to God. This is in heaven going on at the point where John is seeing this. This, it's a picture, all right? It's a prophecy of what will happen. Once we are raptured, we are there around the throne. Guess what's going to happen? This. And as soon as he takes that scroll, you're talking about the beginning of the tribulation. Because all those judgments will be thrown upon the earth, and at the end of the tribulation, Christ himself will come. And guess who's going to come with him? Those elders. Guess who's going to come with him? We are. We get to come, and we're going to be helping him reign on this earth. But that worship service that happens right there is going to be astounding. It's going to be amazing, isn't it? It's going to throw all of our concepts away. All of our concepts. You know, we have our heads, we have an idea of what worship is. You know, and some churches, they have a worship team. A team where you, the singing part is an aspect, is I think the main aspect of worship. I don't know. But whatever concept we have of worship, it's going to be blown out by this. This is going to happen. We are going to say, "Worthy are you, the Lamb that was slain, because you came and you died and purchased my life. You purchased my salvation." And all of these people can, we have salvation. And the angels are going to say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, because you have all authority, all power. It's all been given back to you. What you had before you ever came to, it's been given. And here it is. You're in charge again of this earth." And all of creation says, "Oh, finally, we got someone with real dominion that's not going to kill us. That's not going to mess it up." Because guess what? Satan messes up. What happens today with the earth? Called decay, right? I mean, things grow and they die. A tree grows, it might get a disease and die, it might get to it and die, and just things get worser, not better. Worser is a word, right? Batterous? Icky? Worse. Really? Oh, okay. Things get worse. But worser sounds better. You don't just say bet, you say better. Right? Okay, we're not going to figure that out. Okay, worser. Yeah, Jim agrees with me. I hope. Right? But things get worse today. Guess what's going to happen when Christ has dominion? Not going to get worse. Not going to get worse. You realize that people who are born during the millennial kingdom, if they trust in Christ, by the time they're 100 years old, they're going to go till the end. It's going to keep living. It's not going to decay. It's not going to get bad. Because Christ will be their ruler. Okay? And even that system is going to fail. Even that system is going to, at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan will be let loose and find a whole bunch of people to go against Christ. Even that system will fail. But at the end of that, new heaven and new earth will be so cool. Sin will be done.
All that will be, it's New Jerusalem, the throne, the river. Each side will be the fruit we can eat every month, different every month, and the eternal life. I don't know how to describe it to you. It's going to be cool. All right, let's just go with that. Cooler, coolerest, whichever. It's going to be great. All right, it's going to be amazing. But all of that begins right here when he takes the scroll and the elders, the church says, oh, worthy are you because you have brought us salvation. You've given us a chance to have a relationship with God Almighty. And the angels say, worthy are you because you are now shown to be an authority. The lamb that was slain is the authority here in heaven. And all of creation says, worthy are you because now you have dominion. Finally, we get dominion with someone who will help instead of hinder. You see the focus on all, but it's a praise service. It's a worship service that is based upon truth. And it's based upon the experience going on. It's never wrong to bring your experience into worship. It's wrong if your experience goes over the truth. In other words, trumps out truth. No, truth is always the basis for worship and praise. And all of this worship and praise goes on, and guess what happens at the end? Verse 14, and the four living creatures kept saying, Amen, which means, I agree, so be it. And the elders fell down and worshiped. All of this happens. All of this will happen. This is what the saints have been praying for thousands of years. For the culmination where the Lamb takes that scroll. This is God taking control of his creation again. This is God's judgment on the earth. And this is also true worship and praise, acknowledging Christ's worthiness, giving him the glory he deserves. The Lamb of God being shown for his true self, deity. And we get to be a part of it if we have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ where you call him your daddy, your father, if you have ever acknowledged the forgiveness of sin and had Jesus Christ be your Lord and say, by the way, when I say your Lord and Savior, I mean he's in charge. He is the one that we look to. So if you have trusted Christ, if you have had salvation, if you have done that, then you are going to be a part of that worship service. And if not, he's going to give you 7 more years of pure horror to turn to him. But what we see here is a worship service like none other. Worship and praise. So, we need to worship and praise him now. Why not get some practice in, huh? Might as well practice. What the world calls a weak lamb will be the triumphant lamb, the Lion of Judah. Be shown as God's amazing heavenly scene. Worship includes songs, includes praises, and includes truth. All of that. Donald Gray Barnhouse, he said this. There are 4 things out of place in the universe. The church, which should be in heaven. Israel, which should be living in peace, occupying the land promised to her. Satan, who belongs in the lake of fire. And Christ, who should be seated on his throne, reigning. All 4 of these anomalies will be set right when Christ takes the scroll from his Father's hand. Isn't that amazing? It's going to happen. So let's praise and worship him even today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that we can praise you, we can worship you, we can worship the Lamb that was slain. Father God, what the world saw as weakness, we see as humility and meekness. Because even in heaven, he's standing before all these creatures, the seraphim, the cherubim, he's standing before the church, he's standing before myriads of angels as a slain lamb. And yet, that picture of him is what the world saw. They just saw somebody slain, somebody that wasn't able to do what they thought he should do. Even the Jews who
who said, yeah, we want to be our Messiah until he didn't perform like they wanted him to perform. Father God, that Lamb is ruler of all. And even though in heaven he looks as a slain lamb, and yet he is seen to be worthy of salvation, of authority, and of dominion. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So we honor you and praise you for your plan, for your promise, not for what we think, but for what you have accomplished and what you will accomplish. Thank you so much that he is worthy to take that scroll. We love you, honor, worship your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you take your course book and turn to course 58.